Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure as always. You're going to be glad you did. You hung out with us because we got our good friend Joan Pride back with us. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're here to talk about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. Joan, the lead story in the Kiplinger letter this week is how we'll know when we're near a bottom. Is this like a top 10 thing, Joan? Is this like a David Letterman?
Top 10 reasons.
Ladies and gentlemen, the top 10 reasons. Let me have a drum roll here, please. The top 10 reasons how we'll know that we're near a bottom in this recession. What do you think?
Right.
What's the first one?
The first one is first time.
Or should I say number 10?
Okay, are you ready now?
Yeah, number 10.
Okay, first-time unemployment claims will drop.
Yeah, that hasn't happened yet, though, has it, Joan?
Gosh, no.
And
I think it's going to be a while before it does, too.
And that's one of the big indicators that everybody's watching right now, isn't it, Joan? I mean, haven't they been getting a little bit worse every month?
I think so. Yeah.
And do we know about February? So we got February's numbers, don't we?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
I think we do, and it was 600,000 or plus or something like that.
Yeah.
And so until it starts, not only it really will have to adjust, it'll have to back off and maybe be like 500 or 400,000 or something like that, and then I think we're going to need a couple of months in a row, aren't we?
Well, yeah, because you don't want it to. Otherwise, you have to wonder if it's a blip or just, a fluke.
Well, but we all also have to point out that I think if whenever the unemployment numbers start dwindling, and they will, they're going to, and it may happen this month, it may happen in March. I think they've got a chance at that happening that way.
Mm-hmm.
Joan, whenever that happens, though, we also have to realize that there's maybe a little extra good news in there. Number one, hopefully the numbers will be down. Number two,
right?
As you pointed out many times on the show before, employment is a lagging indicator of a recovery, isn't it?
Exactly. So if people are panicking because they still see the employment numbers bad, that doesn't mean we're necessarily still in a recession. We won't really know we're out of the recession until after we're out of it, but
right.
You shouldn't assume we're still in it because the employment numbers are still bad.
Well, that's true. And I'm really looking forward to that turning around. And I think I don't know, Joan. I'm getting a little bit more hopeful. I predicted in the first of the year, I predicted that we'd be out of this thing by the second half, and things would start picking up. But I have to admit, Joan, I was going a little more on faith than I was on numbers when I made that prediction. But
I'm actually
starting to see a little bit of a glimmer. I'm starting to see a teeny tiny little ray of hope in the future, and I don't think it's a train coming at us. I think it's maybe some good news coming at us, and I sure hope so. One of the things you guys point out is that let's call it number nine, Joan,
mm-hmm.
is consumer spending will pick up a little bit.
We say we'll have more oomph, you mean? Yeah.
Oomph, yeah. Is that your word, Joan?
I hope we spelled that right. I don't know.
What is oomph, Joan?
Oh, you got me. You'll have to ask the writer.
Joan, there are two issues here with the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is their attitude, their inclination.
Right.
And I think there's going to be some, other than pent-up demand for things like, if I have holes in my socks, I have to go buy socks. Other than that pent-up demand, I think consumers are going to be a little late to the party this time. That's one element. The other is they're going to be late to the party because of for the first time in my lifetime, Joan, the credit availability isn't there like it has been in the past.
That's right. That's definitely a problem. But there's also this idea that consumers want to feel wealthy before they go around spending. That's why they did so much spending during the years when stocks were doing so well. They may not have had that much money in their pockets, and you're right, they were using credit a lot, but they felt wealthy because they looked at their bank statements and their broker statements, and they saw wealth on paper.
Well, but Joan, we've got half of our population who's never been through anything like this right now.
Right, that's true.
I mean, you remember the 70s. You remember
stagflation. Oh, barely.
You were only a puppy at the time.
Right.
But you remember that, and it impacted.
Oh, I remember stagflation. It was awful. Terrible recession.
But you know that you know, Joan, that there are all these people who are under 40, which is about half the U.S. population, who've never been through anything like this.
Right.
And so my point is that this is a tough one. I think it's going to go down as the worst financial situation, economic situation we've had since the 30s. And I think they're going to be gun-shy about stepping out in the future, at least for a little while. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's true. So that's going to take longer for the economy to turn around if you don't have consumers priming the pump, so to speak.
And what have we had? 70% of the economy is consumers?
It must be. I think so. Sure.
I think it's about that number. And so Joan, that's it's going to take a while for that to turn around. And another thing you guys point out is, and this is number, would this be number 8 or number 7, Joan?
I don't know how many there are. So I don't know.
Well, just work with me, Joe. Just go with just go with me here. Okay.
Okay, this is number 8. Who knows if we have 10
number
or 12
seven,
or 3.
Number 7.
Stock market rallies will last for weeks. Now, we're having a little rally, which has been lasting for days. But
Six or seven days.
Some people are calling this a bear market rally. In other words, it's a little blip up and we're going to go back down again. But we really don't know.
I like the other term they use for it, Joan.
What do they call what?
The dead cat bounce.
That's terrible.
Haven't you heard that before?
No.
Yeah, it's called the dead cat bounce. That means, even a dead cat will bounce once. No offense to cat lovers. I love cats too. I heard that a year or two ago, and I thought, what a great way to describe. I mean, it's so intuitive, right?
Oh yeah.
So anyway, now we have a little bit of a rally. I think people are getting excited, but Joan, we should point out that unlike the opposite of the trailing indicator of employment, what is the stock market?
Oh, right. The stock market is a leading indicator. And that's why, because you've had a few days of rallies, people are beginning to hope that maybe this is a sign that things are getting better.
Yeah. And there are some percentages in there, folks. There's some record percentages just in the last this month that maybe it's not a dead cat bounce. Maybe it's a live cat will bounce again. Hopefully. Quick break, 20 after. Here's The Who to take us out. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. And you can. I really hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter. I think you'll like it. It's getting better and better every month. And we'll send it to you every week, though, on Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. It's got a lot of good stuff in there. We keep adding cool stuff to it, and we get a lot of praise for our newsletter. I think you'll like it. You can actually see a sample of the newsletter there from a couple of 3 weeks ago, and it's kind of see what it's going to look like when it comes to in your email. And also, don't forget to check out my blog. Check out my knowledge base, AskJim.biz. And folks, whatever your topic is, whatever your challenge or opportunity is on your mind, you're starting a business or trying to grow one or just trying to survive, you're going to find something there on our website that will help you. And it doesn't matter how much time you have. If you've only got 5 seconds, we got something right there on the homepage for you you can do in 5 seconds. You got 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes, we got some stuff that will help you. So I hope you use it to your advantage. We built it for you. We had you in mind because, as you know, I'm a small business owner just exactly like you. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, I guess this is number 6. We're talking about how we'll know when the economy is turned around. There is an unbelievable, an unprecedented, an incredible amount of stimulus that the government is and will continue to pump into this economy for months and maybe years to come, Joan. We right. haven't even seen the benefit of that yet, have we?
That's right. That's,
it hasn't
that's
even begun.
Right. Yeah.
So, Joan, I mean, if you think about it, with the attitude that we all have about you know, the Americans are pathological optimists, and
right.
more and more of us are entrepreneurs.
I like that. I never,
yeah.
wait a minute. I never heard that. Pathological optimist.
Oh, yeah. I've been using that term for a long time. That's me, Joan.
Yeah. Oh, really?
That's all of our. Yeah. That's me. That's our entrepreneur. That's our.
You made that
our
up?
Audience. All of our audiences. All okay. our small business owners. That's what we are. We're pathological optimists. And my point, though, is all of that with the stimulus money, the new technology that's coming around the bend, all the different things. I mean, I really think, Joan, we're going to have a tough. We're going to continue to have a tough 2009. But I think if the government doesn't screw things up, which they often do, Republicans and Democrats, this is not a partisan comment. If the government doesn't screw it up, I think that we could have not a recovery, but a launch. I mean, I think we could take off.
What's the difference?
Well, a recovery is where you just kind of get up off the ground and you start walking. A launch
yeah.
is when you zoom. I'm talking about a really strong 2010-2011.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Because, see, if you think about it, that's when most of this stimulus money is going to come into play.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, anyway, you guys point that out, that it's going to be, the stimulus money is going to help. It's going to take months to get the cash out there. What
right.
else? What are some other things? Schools are getting a lot of money?
$44 billion by April. That's a whole big infusion in a very short time. And then we also say another $56 billion. So they'll get a total of, what, about around $100 billion between
yeah.
2009 and 2010.
And is that for infrastructure, Joan, or is that for teacher raises? Or what
I don't know,
for?
But I would guess a lot of it would have to be for infrastructure because we're trying to build things. And just in my own area, I see plenty of schools where they have those little sad little satellite classrooms
oh,
and little
yeah.
trailers. So
trailers,
there are definitely
yeah.
schools in many areas that really need some additions and some extra building.
I hope that they use some of that money to upgrade technology too, Joan.
Oh, gosh, that would be
you know, get these
yeah.
kids connected and
yeah.
where they can learn, get online and learn some of the stuff that they can learn. They get
right.
I mean, you know, and I know kids are a lot more savvy about technology than you or I were when we were kids, because the technology when I was a kid was a manual typewriter and a big pen. But
yeah.
But
it was a big day when we got calculators from him.
I remember that. I remember those. Absolutely, the little handheld
yeah.
calculators. Anyway, so but I hope they'll do some of that. Joan, mortgage aid. I think this may be number 5 in our list of top 10 things. $75 billion in mortgage aid is ready. What's that all about?
Right, and we say to be used as early as April, to help people refinance and also to help people modify the terms of their loans if they're looking at possibly being foreclosed upon.
Right, and then this, Joan, I think, which is still part of number 5 here, private equity groups will team with Treasury in April to remove toxic assets. Now, this is the plan that Secretary Geithner still hasn't revealed yet, right?
Yeah, and this is kind of, I mean, the idea is kind of intriguing. The idea is to create kind of a market for these so-called toxic assets. So they'd be removed from the bank's books so the banks can get healthier, and then investors who want to take a chance on them, so to speak, would buy them. Now, they're not going to just buy them, though. The Treasury has to back them in some fashion or offer some kind of assistance, and I think that's the part of the plan we don't really know yet.
Well, and that's the troubling part to me, Joan. Obviously, I like the idea of getting these toxic assets out.
Right.
And there are a number of different ways they could have already done that. One would have been to have changed from a mark-to-market to a cash flow valuation model, which I won't get into right now, but mm-hmm. they could have already done that. But the other thing is, Joan, that concerns me is they're talking about working with these hedge funds to bring in private equity and guaranteeing the low But if it goes high, if there's a lot of profit, they're talking about letting the hedge funds make all the money and the government not getting any of that, not the taxpayer not getting any of that. I don't like that part. But the other thing is, and I'll talk about this after we come back, there's one more thing about the hedge fund thing that I'm concerned about. Joan Pride is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blassingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Mr. Wonderful at your service. That's Joan Pride, by the way. That was Joan arguing with me, telling me, I said, Joan, I'm not wonderful. And she said, yes, you are. Right, Joan?
Gee, I don't have a memory of that. I must be
you don't remember?
My mind. I must be losing my mind.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And she's also one of the groupies, right, Joan?
Oh, yeah.
On the show?
Sure.
Joan Pride, folks, you know, she's a serious journalist, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just having some fun with her. Joan, as we went to the break, I wanted to finish my thought on the hedge funds coming in. I don't know that I like it, this private equity coming in to fix the toxic assets, as much as I like some of the other options that could use. But it is definitely something that can that will work. But it is going to be distasteful for me. It is going to be annoy me. It's going to be and irritate me, and a few other strong terms I could use.
Right.
And I think it should bother everybody. If some of the hedge funds who contributed to getting us into this mess by all these leveraged securities, over leveraged securities, if they actually then come back and profit from cleaning up the mess that they made. Joan, that's really going to irritate me.
Yeah, I can see that.
And would you like to know how I really feel about it?
Stop beating around the bush.
And so, folks, my point is pay attention to this. We need to get to the bottom of this. I don't know how. We may just have to swallow this. I don't know, but I'm not going to like it if that happens. What are some other things, Joan? Home prices are plunging in many places, and other buyers are stepping in, aren't they?
Right. Now, this is a tough one, though, I think, because this is all regional. I think there are sales going on in some areas. I'm thinking my area is probably one, just because we're such a transient area.
Right.
But I would think that the housing market is going to be much slower to come back in other areas, particularly ones that were overbuilt and oversold. I'm thinking mm-hmm. places like Florida, probably. I think it's going to be a long, tough road for them.
I was talking to an appraiser recently in another market, and he said building permits had picked up in his area.
Ah. Well, and I think nationally, housing starts were surprisingly strong. I mean, they were up a little bit, and I don't think anybody expected them to be.
Well, the Fed did something this week, Joan, at their two-day meeting. They agreed to buy, $300 billion worth of treasuries or something like that?
Yes,
they did. I think that happened
yeah.
yesterday. But a lot of people, that really shocked, and I'm not an expert on what happened yesterday, but a lot of people were shocked about it. And, Joan, it seems that the result of that is going to be to push mortgage rates even lower. Maybe
right.
down to 4.5 or so.
Right. Wow. That would be historic, I think.
How about that?
Yeah.
So if that happened, that could really get the home situation turned around.
Yeah, because even people who had, there's probably a whole group of people who really don't want to refinance at 5% because it isn't quite good enough for them. But 4.5,
right.
you'd open up a whole new floodgate.
I don't know. As somebody whose first home mortgage was 8.75, I don't know how anybody could complain about 5%.
Yeah, right. Well, that's true. That's
you know,
true.
I mean, stop you, man up, folks. Stop you whining.
No. What I meant was you might have a mortgage at, say, 6.5, and they're telling you don't refinance at 5 because it isn't quite worth your while financially. But if
right.
you go down to 4.5, maybe it is.
Joan, another point, and this is maybe the final drum roll issue here on this section is...
Did we get to 10?
I think we're at 1 now. I think this
okay.
is 1. And that is, you know, a lot of people, if they have any guts at all, a lot of people are saying now's the time to buy stocks. I'm not saying that, Joan. I'm just saying that you gotta admit. I mean, this is we're 50% of the highs right now.
Wow.
We have been. Now, we're not at this moment, but in the last 30 days, we've been at 50% of the highs of 14,000.
Gee.
So, Joan, I mean, at some point in time, let me just say it this way, Joan. A lot of people who know a lot more than I do about investing are going to get rich in the next 12 months.
Wow.
And I'm not the guy to do that because I'm not that smart. I don't have the kind of money to do that, Joan. I'm a small business owner. You know, I'm
right.
unlike what some people think. You know, we're not always part of the folks at the heights of the economy, as they said in their budget this recently. But anyway, there's going to be a lot of money to be made, and I think if that starts smelling like that, Joan, people will get back into the stock market, and that's going to we'll be off to the races after that. That'll be a good thing.
Absolutely.
Joan, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the stimulus money that's going to be going out, where it's going to go, including one thing that I'm interested in is high-speed rail. I still like the maglev thing, folks. I think we should have more of that in America. I'd take a maglev train instead of an airplane, probably. 20 Tales, stay with us.
Well, our hearts be like thunder. I don't know why they don't explode.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check out Kiplinger's website too, folks, kiplinger.com. That's a good one that I encourage you to go to and find out more about what they have to offer. Lots of free stuff there, by the way. You can find lots of good stuff there for free, but if you want to know a little bit more, I recommend that you subscribe to one of their publications or more than one, including the Kiplinger Letter, which is what Joan and I work off of every year. This is a document that's been in publication nonstop since 1923. What a record. What a family-owned American success story record that is. Joan, you've also got some biweekly letters, the California Letter, the Tax Letter, the Agriculture Letter, and the Biofuels Letter. And then you got a magazine, too, don't you, Joan?
We sure do. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And that's and the phone number. Give us that phone number, John.
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And they'll give you a 30-day free trial if you ask them nice, won't they, Joan?
Yeah, you have to ask them nice, though.
Hey, Joan, let's move over and talk about what some of the money is going to go to, the stimulus money, I should say. One of the things is that it's part of the stimulus, I should say, that I really am grateful to Obama's administration for. And whoever else is responsible for this, and that's this loss carryback, and I know you've covered this quite a bit this week, Joan. Whereas prior to the new provisions, you could only carry back losses 2 years. In other words, if you were profitable over the last 2 years, and this year you're not, you can average those, can't you, Joan, for your tax return?
Right, exactly. And then you can file an amended return. You basically get money back in your pocket.
You could get money back. So now, though, right. What's the new provision say, Joan?
Well, the new provision is you can go back 5 years instead of two, which I think is really terrific because your losses might be such that you really need to go back 5 years to really recoup them.
Joan, that's me giving Barack Obama a standing ovation.
Oh, that's great. And
yeah. There's more?
There was a lot of back and forth, as to how big, the companies should be that got these, and now there's a limit in the stimulus law, but Obama wants to take that limit off.
Right. Well, this is good news. This is. Let me tell you something. Of all the things that will help the most small businesses, this is one of them. This is one of the things that I think is the most beneficial for the most small businesses. Now, they're going to put a lot of money into the SBA.
Right.
You know how much I support the SBA, Joan. You know how important I believe and how much how long I've been working with the SBA
yes.
to support all the things they do. So I know they're going to do that. But the truth is, Joan, a very small percentage of Americans actually have SBA loans. So that's important. I'm glad they're doing it. Maybe it'll get out to more people.
Yeah.
But this tax provision is a big deal, and I'm glad he's doing it. And there are other issues. I've taken issue on a couple of other things I won't bring up right now, but I really am proud of them for that. Joan, one of the things, though, that I think we should point out, that all this federal spending, though, is increasing our deficit.
Well, that's unfortunately true.
And it's pushing our national debt, Joan, to $11 trillion. That's almost as much as our national economy. In other words, we owe as much as our revenue, so to speak.
Uh-oh.
That's a dangerous number.
Yeah.
And Joan, only about and you know there's blame to go on both sides of the aisle here. Mm-hmm. Joan, only about 5 years ago it was about $5 trillion.
Gee, that's
so it was
amazing.
More than doubled in a very short period of time. So
what doubled it?
Well, a lot of different things. The war doubled it, probably. The mismanagement by Democrats, Republicans, Democrats. The stimulus is creating an awful lot more of it.
Yeah, the stimulus is too.
My only point there, Joan, I wasn't making any kind of a political observation except to say, folks, all this stimulus that we're kind of excited about, there's a price to be paid for it.
Oh, sure.
And so one day we're going to have to pay this money back, or the consequences. I guess what I'm getting at is I want people to make sure that they understand that this is an expensive thing that we're trying to do to keep our economy from going in the tank.
Right.
And I think that's important. Joan, another thing you guys report is $5 billion for high-speed rail. Now, is that like magnetic levitation railroad?
I think so. I'm not sure, but I think so. And, you know, we're pretty far behind, I think, Europe and Japan, aren't we?
Way behind.
In terms of high speed. I mean, so far behind, it's ridiculous.
You mean behind in that they have some and we don't? Is that what you mean?
Believe it or not, yeah.
But,
and
Joan,
this has been true for years.
How long have I been saying, Joan, that they ought to be building high-speed rail along the interstate corridors?
Right.
They already have the right-of-way. Put it up in the corridor to the left or the right of the... You know, of the interstate. I mean, there's a lot of different ways. I don't know the economics of this.
Yeah.
But I just think high speed rail is a great alternative, and it's a great way to conserve energy, Joan.
Well, that's true too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Joan, here's something. You guys are breaking some news here, Joan.
We are.
I think you are. Chrysler and GM in a shotgun wedding.
Yeah. Don't you like that wording there?
I love that. I haven't heard that lately. No, seriously, I don't think I've been hearing this combination. Why do you guys think that?
Why do we think that? Well,
yeah.
I guess we have good sources. I don't know, but the part I like is Treasury walking them down the aisle.
I actually don't like that image, Joan. Geithner and
who's holding the shotgun is what I want to know.
Geithner and Wagoner and what's the guy's name for Chrysler? I've forgotten his name. But,
I don't know. Yeah.
That's an image I don't want to see.
Yeah.
Interesting, folks. Joan, the Kiplinger folks say that Chrysler and GM could come together. And so, Joan, instead of losing $3 billion a month, they'd lose $5 billion a month altogether, right? Stand by. Quick break. 10 tails. Stay with us.
In Louisiana, close to New Orleans. Way back up in the woods among the evergreens. There stood a log cabin made of earth and wood. Where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good. Who never ever learned to read.
Little Robert Cray bringing us back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Joan Pride is our guest and our good friend and senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Kiplinger.com is their website. Mine is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, folks, if you get a chance. Just after the Twitter.com, just put my name, Jim Blassingame, no spaces. And you can find me on Twitter. And I think you'll find what we do there on Twitter kind of interesting, a little bit different from other people. I won't be telling you when I go to lunch or when I'm going to have a meeting or anything. It'll just be stuff
Thank
that I think
goodness.
You can use. Are you on Twitter, Joan?
No, I barely even know what it is.
We need to. You need to get on Twitter so we can follow you, Joan.
Oh, you really want to follow me? I don't think so.
Boy. I, Joan, that's just too easy. I'm going to let that one go.
Yeah, I think you should.
Hey, Joan, let's move over to page 3 and talk about the federal budget. Joan,
okay.
didn't I... You know, I'm having a little fun here, Joan. I got the needle out here a little bit, Joan.
Sure.
Didn't I hear something in the campaign about stopping... earmarks and stopping all the pork.
Like
I heard something
about
that. But yet, what have we got now? 7,000 earmarks in this new budget, Joan?
I think we got a couple of earmarks.
Am I in bizarro world, or what's going on, Joan? 7,000 earmarks.
Wow.
Republicans and Democrat earmarks.
That's true.
You know, I think Mr. Obama should get his veto pen out. I think if he really wanted to send a message, Joan, he would veto, you know, all of those. He'd figure out a way to veto that stuff.
Now, this bill is the omnibus budget bill, right?
Yeah.
And when was it proposed? When was it started?
I agree. Well, he can still do.
He can get full disclosure.
She's got her own needle out for. She's got her own stinger out here.
He came in the middle of the movie.
But he could have. He could still do something about. See, I think
he has the power to veto it.
This
sure.
would be another way for him to stick his finger in the eye of George Bush. And I would be proud of him for that, Joan.
He could. He still could.
He's not going to. Yeah. He's not going. Yeah. I think his idea is next time. There's an old country song, Joan. I think it's Vince Gill saying it. Said, "Give me just one more last chance."
Well, I think he should. I mean, the next time that something like this comes on his desk, I think he almost has to veto it to keep his credibility in this area.
Yeah, it'll be. I'm gonna remind you of that, Joan. We're gonna have to come back and revisit that. I'll have to. Hopefully, we'll be here talking about that when that happens. Joan, let's move over and talk about human resources. One of the things that you guys are concerned about is a surge in lawsuits by employees and ex-employees. And tell us about this.
Well, apparently, there are a lot more complaints to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission now, the EEOC. There have been some different things happening in this area of the law. For example, the big one, I think, is the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, where a woman discovered, I guess a long time after the fact, that she had for years been paid less than her male counterparts doing the same job, and she sued. And basically the court at the time told her, well, you needed to sue right at the time that all this discrimination was starting. And she said, but I didn't know about it. We weren't allowed to know what everybody else was being paid. And they said, too bad. So she took this all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court even ruled against her, so that Congress ended up passing legislation to correct that.
Right. That's right. I forgot about that. The Congress, as you say, the Supreme Court.
And the only reason I remember that is because I remember the day that the president signed that. That was one of the first pieces of legislation. It might have been the first piece of legislation he signed in his administration.
I would like to point out, though, that this kind of discrimination doesn't happen just against women or minorities or whatever. I know men who've gone through careers and found out later that other men had been paid more than they were because they weren't a squeaky wheel.
Right.
So it happens. It happens out there, I'm not saying there isn't some discrimination, but it's not just gender based or race based or whatever. It's just bad managers who take advantage of people.
Well, and take advantage of the fact that you can't know what other people are being paid in a private company.
Right.
You can, I guess, in the government, but not in a private company.
Well, but you know what? If you want to find out, you can find out. I mean, I've been in those situations, and if you want to find out what other people are making, you can find out.
Yeah.
You just got to work on it a little bit. Joan, we're about out of time, but the Mexico situation is really getting ugly down there, isn't it?
It's awful. The drug cartels are just out of control and killing people. It's terrible.
I'm really concerned about that, Joan. I think our country should be concerned about it,
right?
Because we got a little Afghanistan brewing on our border down there, Joan.
We sure do.
Could be a mess, and we have to we're gonna have to pay attention to that. I'm sure we'll be reporting on that in the days and the weeks and months ahead. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for. I'll see you tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.